from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Okay, this is the second time I've heard it today. Ursula, after the pre-show meeting, she says, oh, I'm exhausted already. And then, just now, before I turn the microphone on, she says, oh, I'm feeling a certain type of way. It's already just 9 o'clock. Ursula, good morning to you.
Good morning. We have had more discussions during our meetings. And in the newsroom, I feel like we've done an entire show already.
You're tired today.
I did watch an incredible show at the Paramount Theater in Seattle last night. Aladdin is well worth the money. You gotta go. It was a great, great show. It was probably one of my favorite at the Paramount.
You had a positive day yesterday.
I did. I did, and it's going to be a positive day today. Okay. Y'all know, G has made a lot of things crystal clear on this show.
Crystal.
But one of the most crystal clear things is that you tell us you never speed.
Right.
And yesterday you told us you got pulled over, but you wouldn't tell us the reason why you got pulled over.
Right.
And we're going to share that story. We're all going to hear it together coming up at 9:47.
Hey, just so you know, I don't usually recommend it. But if you have something to do at 9:47, you can go do that and not be. And you don't have to listen to me tell you guys how I got pulled over yesterday.
Oh,
do you really want to hear that story?
Might not have been so crystal clear on a particular point.
Yeah. Oh boy!
Oh, all right, I'm going to tell you about it. 9:47. I got pulled over. The police.
We got to hear how this one went.
All right, top stories of the day brought to you by Way Scar 40 Susu and Auburn.
When it comes to crime, Washington is the eighth most dangerous state in the country, according to a new study. The Cimarron Law Group analyzed crime data from the FBI and the National Incident-Based Reporting System and looked at the frequencies of some of the most serious crimes. And it turns out that Washington has the highest larceny and theft rate compared to other states. We also have a high kidnapping and abduction rate. It is also notable that while violent crimes in the U.S. went down between the years 2020 and 2022, the rate of violent crime in Washington increased.
You ever read a headline to a story and say, nope, I don't believe it? And when this came out, when they tried to say that the state of Washington was the eighth most dangerous state in the country, I was like, I even did that's fake news. I did that one. And then I dive into the topic, and then my feelings got hurt. And the reason why
Because it's not fake news.
Because it's not fake news. It's actually real. And you ever go to read something, and then you just like, you kind of like turn your back to everybody, just like, man, when they talked about the theft, the larceny that happens here, to which I say, yeah, we got a problem. This is bad. It's so bad here that we are have a baked-in excuse. Hear me out. If you go downtown anywhere and your car gets broken into, what do we say? Oh, dang it. I left my backpack on the front. Like, we almost justify getting our cars broken into that it happens so often. So, yes, Ursula, this news, I believe it. And then the kidnapping part, that was cold. Like 16.2 or 3 per 100,000? Wow. Yeah,
I didn't get into actual numbers. I mean, I read it, but I think it's just too much for our audience to try to digest all these different numbers. But they looked at between 2020 and 2022. And again, the rate of violent crime in Washington increased while everywhere else in the country, in most cases, it went down. Last year, many parts of the country saw declines in the number of homicides and other violent crimes. Gun violence was down elsewhere, but not here. The Council of State Governments has this report that shows since 2019, the violent crime rate has risen here, more here, like 26%. So more here than in any other state other than Colorado. Homicide statewide is up almost 90% since the pandemic. So, of course, you're going to ask why. And I was digging through a bunch of different articles from the recent past. And Danny Westnate, who we often quote on the show because he digs into numbers, He had reported a few months ago on what criminology experts were looking at, and they said that after decades of our state ranking well below the national average for violent crimes, we've actually caught up in the last 3 years. So we used to be safer than the rest of the country, but that's not the case anymore. And one of the things that you have to look at is that this uptick in violent crimes has coincided with a deep drop in the number of officers in Washington. So according to reports, Washington State is dead last in staffing per capita with 10,666 officers in 2022. So that was the 13th straight year of being last in the nation in law enforcement staffing. Now, we have talked in the show like, well, police can't solve everything. You've often talked about the hole in the boat. So what does this mean? Not just that there aren't enough police to prevent certain crimes, but there are also not enough police to solve certain crimes. The solve rate is really low. Looking into that, 47% of murders went unsolved in Washington in 2022, along with 55% of aggravated assaults and 74% of robberies.
I want to just address the solve rate. And as much as I know that when some folks hear that and they say, law enforcement, what are you doing, right? I'm going to go ahead and just say that I know the other side of something. We all know the other side of it. The other side of it is there's a lot of people that just stop talking. And so a lot of investigations are halted because we have people that decide, I'm not telling, I'm not talking, I'm not snitching, I'm not doing this. So that really does a huge impact to the solve rate.
But if your staffing rate per capita is dead last in the country, I mean, and we talk about the length of time it takes to respond to 911 calls. I mean, it's hard enough for them to just to do the day to day. What more actually a lengthy investigation? So they also use that an example of in 2012, the Seattle Police Department made arrests in 51% of all aggravated assault cases. And then last year, they made arrests in only 23% of aggravated assaults. Again, if you don't have the staffing to actually investigate these crimes, I mean, the other thing is, what messaging is that sending, too?
True.
I do want to put a big asterisk on this report, and I agree that it absolutely shows a big problem. However, this is a problem that we have already discussed, because this is FBI crime data from 2020 to 2022.
Yes.
More recently, we talked about the decrease in murder rates that's been reported early this year and at the end of last year. So FBI crime data usually comes out around May.
Yeah.
So we should see the 2023 report soon, but a lot of what we're talking about is stuff that was occurring 2022 and before. Just want to make that clear for folks.
Yes, I did mention that, and the information that we have right now where it's gone down was based on the first 3 months of this year. So, I mean, that is a positive. A state lawmaker believes two women would be alive today if a former Yakima police officer would have been ordered to wear a GPS ankle bracelet. Elias Huzar was under two restraining orders issued by the courts to keep him away from his ex-wife, Amber Rodriguez, and her kids. Representative Lauren Davis tells King 5 News this tragedy could have been prevented.
Perpetrator's ankle monitor actually talks in real time to an app on the victim's cell phone so that she has adequate time to escape.
The state legalized the use of these types of GPS monitors in 2020 with the Tiffany Hill Act, named after a Clark County woman who was murdered by her husband in a similar fashion.
Tiffany was also murdered in the parking lot of a school while the perpetrator was waiting for her.
Huzar is accused of killing his ex-wife at the elementary school where she worked. Police say he also killed 17-year-old Angelica Santos, who is the mother of his one-year-old. He was also facing child rape charges in relation to a sexual assault on her and her friend. And Davis believes that the GPS ankle bracelet system isn't being used because courts around the state just aren't familiar with it.
It's infuriating. The court could have ordered that relief, and the entire utility of this technology is to prevent that exact sort of behavior, and it's highly effective at doing so, and we're not using it.
I think the most upsetting thing about this, and we brought it up yesterday, Ursula, and I don't want to say it again with this case, some crime, you know, crime's going to happen. Sometimes it can't be prevented. When we, and you bring up and talk about this story, there is a lot of things that could have prevented this. And all of the steps that you have taken us through over the last 2 days only continues and push like real frustration. Now, it has happened. Now, we have seen what happened. We see what could have prevented this, all the different things. My question back to you is this. Is something going to come from this? Is there going to truly be change? Because if there's not, if there's not change from this right here, then what are we doing?
That would be a crime if nothing comes of this. Absolutely. Because two lives are lost. A baby is without parents. Families are devastated. A community is devastated. And there are a lot of questions. And again, now you can take a look. Unfortunately, nothing happened in time to save these women. But if you aren't going to make changes as a result of this, as there are some glaring things that have happened here and some glaring things that could have potentially prevented this, it would be a crime not to make changes.
There's two unions connected to this that get talked about often on our text line and out here. Teachers union, police union. What I mean, you know, there needs to be real changes to really make sure and be more proactive to make sure that never happens again, not just here in the state of Washington, but everywhere in the United States.
A Snohomish County woman is calling on Tesla to make safety changes after a Tesla that was traveling on autopilot crashed and killed her fiancé on a busy highway. Janae Hutchinson is the victim's fiancé. She was expecting Jeffrey Neeson home for dinner, but unfortunately, he never made it.
Because of someone being distracted, he's gone, and I don't get to have him.
She tells Cairo 7 TV she doesn't blame the driver alone. She questions why Tesla's cars are allowed to use AutoDrive software.
Why did that car not stop? Why is there not a feature? Why did it continue to lurch forward?
And she says Tesla needs to take safety more seriously because no one should be experiencing what she is going through today.
It really is. It's ironic that what is considered to be one of the most safe vehicles that has the best features that can protect somebody would take someone's life.
Okay, so there's a lot that we don't know yet. The driver of the Tesla told police he was looking at his phone while the car was in autopilot, and it suddenly lurched forward, pinning the motorcyclist underneath. That 56-year-old driver is now facing vehicular homicide charges.
I'm glad you said that. There's a lot that we don't know. Here's what we don't know. I don't know if there was a stoplight in front of the motorcyclist. I don't know if it was. I don't know what speed that they were traveling in, the alleged driver. I don't know what was happening in front of the motorcycle, like if there was another vehicle. Did it come to a abrupt stop? There's those things we don't know. According to what it's saying, they're saying that potentially distracted by the phone. We don't even know. I don't know that if he was already on autopilot the entire time. Did he disengage? So there's a lot of information that doesn't come out. However, I will say this in reading that article. One of the someone, Mr. Davis from the Davis Law Group, had made a point that
an attorney
had made a point that in the United States, after these vehicular deaths have happened due to autopilot, Tesla alone has not been solely responsible. They haven't been solely responsible for any of these. It's usually Tesla and the reason why it's and is because sometimes we don't know or we find out what the driver is doing. So I told you before, we're going to know. Tesla knows what that driver was doing up until that accident happened.
Yeah.
So once that happens, go ahead.
Exactly. Well, and I think that's, you know, that Tesla will be fighting this, that you know that there's going to be a lawsuit, you know, but the officer who took the police report or the state patrol trooper who took the report found enough evidence to arrest him based on what he told them at the scene, which was, I was looking at my phone. The Washington Post reports that Autopilot was involved in 736 crashes since 2019. I think I've brought that up before. That includes 17 fatalities. So that is actually more than a lot of people realize. Again, Autopilot. The federal government is currently investigating how autopilot technology interacts with stopped emergency vehicles, something that has apparently been a known problem for years. But also, I looked into this, four of those deadly accidents involved a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. Four since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about that for a second. We don't want anybody to die in any situation, but Autopilot has caused it for four motorcyclists from 2019. We're talking about 5 years. And again, we don't know what the driver was doing and or not doing.
Yeah.
Well it sounds like he was doing nothing, which means what really caused the crash?
That is going to be something that has to be answered. And I think this could be precedent setting. The other thing is, I think it's just a reminder, though, if you drive one of those vehicles, and I know, you do.
I do.
You don't allow it to, I don't want to speak for you.
No, I mean.
Your reaction.
Well, my first reaction was this. Again, this is a very sad story. And I told you all during the meeting, I said, this could have been me at some point, right?
When it's on autopilot, do you assume that you are going to be told when there is something in your way? That you would rely on it? You would feel safe relying on it?
I don't. Like, I don't take a nap. I don't close my eyes. I don't go reach to the back seat while it's on auto drive. But then the Tesla tells you this, though.
Yeah, the company, according to Tesla's website, the company started recalling vehicles to dissuade drivers from misusing the autopilot feature. That was in December of 2023. So they're saying that they're going to update the software to encourage drivers to adhere to their continuous supervisory responsibility whenever auto steer is engaged. In other words, it's still up to you, the driver.
Yep. Okay, Ursula, 9:47. You told the people, and we got to talk about it. I got pulled over yesterday. I'm going to tell you why I got pulled over. I'm going to tell you about my experience with law enforcement. I'm going to tell you all of that. That's at 9:47. But up next, Chris Sullivan is going to join us to explain why I think Bellevue has it right when it comes to what they're going to be doing with Sound Transit. Oh, I can't wait to talk about this next. Gene Ursula.
I'm their conduit, and I'm glad to do it.
Always feel charged up when Chris Sullivan is in studio with us. Yesterday, I saw you in the newsroom, and you were there coaching one of our colleagues, and I got to tell you, you are so in your element.
Yeah, I miss coaching.
I miss coaching a lot. I can tell, and I had to come up to you, and it's probably inappropriate. I gave him a hug. I said, I'm just so proud of you.
Better than the old days when you used to steal my phone charger. Oh, too soon.
I mentioned it.
I saw the story. Yes,
yeah.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
Bunch of thieves running around.
Yeah,
Jeff.
Wait a minute. But I would always ask. Thank you. And I would. And then the one time you were like, where is that phone charger? I was like, oh. I have it. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we got
let's
history.
Talk about what's going on
and
in
I've got
Bellevue.
Receipts.
Bellevue is getting light rail and a new unit of officers to patrol the station.
Yeah, something that's really interesting that no other jurisdiction that light rail goes through has done before is Bellevue has created its own transit police to help check for crime on the light rail line that starts Saturday in Bellevue and goes between South Bellevue and Renton. There are six stations out of the eight that are inside the city limits of Bellevue, and they have the Bellevue Light Rail Unit, five people, a sergeant and four officers, whose job it is, brand new position, to ride the trains, check the platforms, and watch for crime and keep people safe on the trains. And that starts, you know, on Saturday. And it's like, okay, Bellevue, great. And they're going to work in addition with the Sound Transit Police, which are King County Sheriff's deputies, but they have been incredibly hands-off on this when it comes to crime on the Seattle side of things. So Bellevue is maybe starting a trend that maybe as jurisdictions get online, that there will be additional police to make sure that people are safe when they ride light rail.
Starting on the right foot, imagine.
Hey, I love everything about this. Here's what I love most about this. Not only did they basically say, hey, we want to let the world know that we are going to have law enforcement there on this stretch of Bellevue, so much so, we're going to actually send them to the traffic guy at Cairo News Radio, because they were with Sully, it was today Thursday, they were with you on Tuesday. I saw my man walking around, they had the pistols out blazing, you know what I mean? And so I didn't know what they was about, but all I'm saying is this, Ursula. If I want to take the light rail, and you know sometimes I be shining, and I might have some jewelry on, I wants to feel protected. And I love what Bellevue's doing. They're telling you what they're going to do. They're going to do it. And they're telling you how they're going to do it. And basically, this is a message to anybody out there. And you know what that message is?
It's safe.
Is that too? But you want to know what the real message is?
What is that?
I wish you would. That's talking to the criminal. I wish you would come on over here and pull that. Bellevue, I love it.
Now, they won't be doing fare enforcement, which I know is a sore subject to many, because they do have to find ways to recoup the dollars Sound Transit is that does that is. But yeah, I think it sends a very valuable sign, especially because the first time I started telling everybody, you know, when the decision was made that they're going to open this starter line, because originally we weren't going to be going to Bellevue until we got across the lake, right? And that lake part is well behind schedule, well into next year. People were like, oh, here come all the criminals from Seattle. Welcome to, you know, welcome to the crisis. And I'm like, yeah, it's not getting across the lake yet, but this also does kind of send a message that when it does, that stuff that may be okay on the west side of Lake Washington is not going to be okay on the, well, I mean, okay in terms of the, it's being, and a blind eye is being turned toward it in where the one line is right now through Seattle for whatever reason.
Run by the same agency?
No. Well, the Sound Transit Police have basically been told to stand down by King County when it, because there were some issues of, you know, profiling and things, and for people that were on the trains and the selective and fair enforcement and whatnot. So as we came through 2019, 2020, 21, there was a, they got caught up in the defund and the, and so people were like, no, they don't do really do much of anything active when it comes to this. But, and now Bellevue's like, yeah, well, in our jurisdiction, we're doing it differently. And as G said, the word is out. And that line, that service starts.
The word needs to be out in King County, too.
It should be. It'd be nice if Seattle would, but they don't have enough officers to do the regular stuff, much less get on trains.
Oh, we just talked
about
that.
But maybe when
we
go up to Lynnwood, maybe a couple of their officers will jump on from Lynnwood down through Mount Lake Terrace, you know, and whatnot, because there are other jurisdictions coming online as light rail expands here over the next couple of years. And, oh, I guess
is
opens up service.
Light rail on the east side going to be need to be a big sell? Or is there a heavy demand for it?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, if there are people who live, say, in South Lake Union or live in Bellevue and work at some of the tech hubs, they'll be able to get right into, you know, right there. Then they'll be able to maybe go to South, you know, get into downtown Seattle and then maybe catch the streetcar. And we might actually see people on the streetcar going back into South Lake Union again. God forbid. But yeah, so there is. And it eventually will go into downtown Redmond. And some of the thought is that there's a huge 1500 person parking garage or stall parking garage in South Bellevue that mamaybe people will come in, say, from Issaquah, park there, then catch light rail to a game or the stadium district. So they won't have to, you know, they'll be able to cut their commute a little bit, and they'll be able to maybe from there take it up into Redmond and whatnot. So they're not quite sure. They're hoping, that's why this, over this next year before it opens across the lake, that people are starting to get used to it. Check it out. You can go there and you can drive. But yeah, the demand will most likely come once it gets across the lake, because then there it will be a big commuter option for people who live on one side, work on the other. And in the old days, as you know, it used to be east to west. Now people commute in both ways in the morning going from to jobs in Bellevue. So I think that's when it's really going to make an impact. But right now, we'll see. It's kind of, that's why they're calling it the starter line. It's kind of like a soft opening for more than a year.
So much is happening, I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Progress.
Well, thanks, Sully. Appreciate it. What, oh, song, yeah. What song is this song?
Dirty Deeds, Done Dirt
no,
Cheap.
No, it's TNT.
Oh, is it TNT? Yeah, TNT. I was automatically thinking Dirty Deeds because I was talking about Bellevue Police.
You got your dad rock over there.
Yeah, sorry.
No shade on Bellevue Police.
No, I love them. No, I mean Dirty Deeds in terms of them going after people doing dirty deeds.
Okay, gotcha.
Now, come on. Yeah, Seth and Drew came in here the other day, would not be very happy with me saying that.
Hey, Ursula, I just want to tell you. Let me ask you this. This is random. Watch yourself. Here we go. What do you think's more attractive? A guy walking in a fireman outfit, a pilot outfit, or a plainclothes detective? A plainclothes detective, and you know he's law enforcement. He got the gun showing. Which one's more attractive?
I'm always going with the first responders.
You going fireman?
Yes, and police. Yeah.
Tell you what, Seth Tyler, that guy's well put together. He's a motorcycle traffic officer. He's the one who was strapped up yesterday.
Yeah, I saw him. Yeah. Hey,
you see that guy coming, you're like, okay.
Ursula, even I looked at him, I said, that's a strikingly handsome man.
But a pilot in a Blue Angels uniform, I know, might be a...
If you're listening, officer, yeah, I thought you was a good-looking dude.
I think G is stalling because he needs to tell us why he was pulled over by police.
Ooh, I'm okay.
Coming up next.
It comes up next, G and Ursula. Day one of the 2024 NFL Draft is today, and yours truly, that would be me, will be hosting the Seahawks draft party today, so I'll be talking about that at 10 o'clock, but right now we need to talk, and I don't know why Nick played Bad Boys, what you gonna do?
I wonder why.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, we're waiting with bated breath to find out why you got pulled over.
I got pulled over, y'all. Police. Pull me over on the 512 on the freeway. I'm heading towards Puyallup. I'm heading towards the gym. I'm going in.
What are you driving?
I'm driving my Tesla, right? Mm-hmm. Driving the Tesla. I'm rolling. And I had just got the script. I'm telling you the truth. I just got the script, no excuse, for today's NFL draft party that I'm hosting, and I had just gotten it. So I looked at my watch. I saw what it was. I said, oh, that's the script. And then I said that when I would get the script, that I would let DJ Super Sam know about it. And so I grabbed my phone. I grab my phone and I go to text my guy DJ Super Sam. I'm just telling y'all the truth, y'all. I go to text him that and I go to do it and I put my phone down. I look to my matter of fact, I didn't even put my phone down. It wasn't even down yet. I had sent it. I look to my left and the state patrol in an unmarked car, blue SUV, is riding alongside of me looking dead at me. Now, I was thinking, because I don't really have the thick tint like I used to. You know what I mean? I got that medium tint. And he looked at me, and then he got right behind me, and he pulled me over. I got over. I said, man, dang it. And so he comes out. He goes around to the passenger side of the car. I roll it down, and he says, how you doing today? I said, I'm good. He says, want to let you know. And I tell you all that everything's being recorded and all that kind of thing. And he says, what's up? I said, man, I messed up. That's what's up, man. I said, I ain't got no excuse. I messed up. I sent this text. I shouldn't have done it. And you got me. I have no excuse. And I said to him, I said, the crazy part about this is that I don't want to have to tell this story, but I'm going to tell this story because, you know, I'm going to tell this story just to people because I've messed up.
Oh, you threw the I'm G. Scott card out there. Oh, G.
No. I actually explained to him what I was doing.
Oh, okay.
And so I said, okay. So then
I'm hosting
like,
a big NFL draft party. I'm a very important person.
Right. So I go, he says, well, okay, let me have your license, registration, uh-huh. insurance, and all uh-huh. that kind of good stuff. I said, okay, hey, officer, is okay if I can hit the screen so I can open it up.
Yes.
So I have to do the password
yes.
on the screen. It opens up. He says, well, that's how I know you're the owner of the car. I said, okay, cool. I grabbed the registration and insurance and yeah. gave that to yes. him. And he says, all right, I'll be back. And he goes back and he comes back in and he said, all right, Mr. Scott, you know not to be doing that again. I said, man, thank you, bro. You ain't gonna give me a ticket? My man, thank you. Now, I know his name, but I don't want to say his name. But I'm sure probably he's listening because he is a listener of the show.
Oh.
Yeah, he is a listener of the show.
Oh. Okay.
I don't want to say his name, but my man is cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you think there are going to be people who are upset who say... He gave you a big warning.
What are you going to be upset about? Yeah, people don't get warnings.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, did you get special treatment?
No. I think, do people get warnings?
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten a warning?
Absolutely.
Have you ever gotten a warning?
Well, when I was on I-5 recently, and I had a State Patrol vehicle right next to me, and I looked over at him, and he looks at me, and he just points to the side of the road because I was in the carpool lane. I ain't getting a warning.
Oh, yeah. So,
did you really do that?
So here,
I told this story.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you all, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by telling you this story because this topic of texting and driving has been a topic on our show, not just on the show, but the last 2 days, even today, it has been a topic. And so for this to happen, I want to throw myself under the bus. I want to tell you all I need to be better. And I also want to tell you, like, on some serious stuff, though, because this is important, too. That officer was dope. And let me tell you what was real cool about that officer is that when he pulled me over, he came over, he asked, hey, how you doing today? Right? He wasn't a jerk. He was solid human being. Like I said, I know his name. I don't want to say his name, but he is a really cool dude. Even if I would have got a ticket, he's still a cool dude. I was wrong. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is.
Yes. And I think that is the best thing that you can do is admit the last time I got pulled over, which wasn't that long ago, yeah. I was driving a little bit distracted. It was late. I was tired.
Right.
And I just flat out said, you know what? I am dealing with a lot of grief right now. I just got back from the Philippines. Was within that first week. And
uh-huh.
I said, I'm just dealing with a lot. I wasn't thinking. I really messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fully expecting a ticket. And the trooper said, you know, just be more careful. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want you to hurt anybody else. And
yeah.
It was but I always remind myself, whether it's like a text like yours, because we're all, okay, most of us are guilty of doing something that we shouldn't be doing behind the wheel.
Yeah.
And each and every time I just say to myself, was that worth my life? Was that worth someone else's life?
Oh, he did say it to me. He says, this is a nice car. Do you really want to be doing that? I said, I don't, man. I don't. But again, the officer was, hey, man, he's real cool. He's a listener to the show, so appreciate that as well. And peace and love and safety to all law enforcement that has to go
that was
out there.
State Patrol?
State Patrol. In a blue, unmarked. You got me, bro. You got me. All right. What's new at 10? Seahawks draft is coming up next. Generous.